You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
Without further ado, I humbly present to you the Seattle Jerrys. Every player will wear running shoes with hockey blades attached to them, just like Jerry does.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final half hour. We're out of here at 6:30 for the pregame. Leafs Red Wings tonight on TSN Radio. Yes guy, no guy around 6:40 p.m. Eastern time. William Nylander making his debut tonight on a line with Austin Matthews and Patrick Marleau. Hey, to each their own, and you negotiate, it's a business, but what a setup. We talked about this earlier. You missed the first 25 games. Mm-hmm. No training camp. No Babcock yelling and screaming at you. No bag skating. Walk into a situation. You get all that money. You're back on the top line. Team's in second overall in the league.
Yeah. What is their... I mean, it's not actually a bad good. Routine.
Pretty good setup. Good setup for William Nylander.
It is. You couldn't ask for it because they made him whole. Like, he could have signed that deal at 6.9 and left the 2 months on the table as far as salary. They didn't do that. They made him whole. He's making 10.2 technically on paper this year. And so there's no negative there other really than the fact that you have to jump on a moving train. Easier said than done. I mean, you're in great shape and all that. But the timing of passes and how things are going to happen quickly out there, compared to skating with a junior team in Sweden. And let's say, you know, I'm sure he was committed, like, no doubt about that. But I know, even during the lockout, per se, like skating, your level of working out is still hard, but it's not as hard as it would be if you were preparing for the season the next day.
Well, and if you had the peer pressure, too, right? You're doing it by yourself.
Right.
You're in the gym with your teammates, you're like, I got to stick around. I'm working out.
The thing he's got to really focus on tonight as far as like the on ice, his shift length. Because one long one will destroy you the rest of the game. You can't get it back. It just, one of those ones where you get stuck in your own zone and you're chasing around.
Well, that can happen. You can't control that, right? You get him. Like Austin
Matthews.
That's
what they say, get off the ice before you can get in trouble.
Yeah, I hear you. But Matthews is still in the same boat. Like, he's still admitting he doesn't feel 100%.
No, and he's not 100%. Just wait till he gets firing 100%.
Yeah.
Pretty scary.
Yeah, like, he wasn't that good in Buffalo the other night, but guess what? Two dynamic plays, and people are like, oh, what a game!
A+.
But that's not great. That was not his best game, not even a chance.
That's the funny thing is guys can just disappear through a game. It always frustrated me as a goalie because you watch a guy and he'd be invisible the whole game and burping pucks up and turning pucks over and being lazy on the wall. I'm not suggesting that was Austin Matthews. I'm just saying generally you're sitting there watching a guy then scores a beautiful goal and everyone's like, yeah, great game. Played a great game. No, he didn't. You just scored a nice goal.
Yeah.
Now, I think Austin is different than that, but I'm just saying, like, when you look at how we measure a person's success is obviously by on the score sheet, but if a goaltender is kicking it all over the ice and
or
brutal,
if you're a stat nerd, it's their score sheet.
Well, depending
on... He had a bad game. No, he didn't. He had 14 possession and 74 attempts. And
a couple of zone exits.
There is. You can call it the underlying numbers are strong.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
Strong underlying numbers.
He had 12 exits with possession and 14 entries and 37 high-scoring opportunities.
Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider in studio.
How you doing, boys?
Hey, Bob. Are you a stat geek or what? I don't know.
I had to do a Sports Center hit with Kara.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah.
Was that about
Bringing
Nylander?
In the heavy hitter.
Yeah. Literally.
I met Kara.
Yeah, it wouldn't be you. It was Nylander talk, I'm assuming.
It certainly was, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bill Nye, the science guy.
That's
goal
right.
Scoring guy.
What are you expecting out of him?
That's a really good question. I mean, a lot of times you get the buildup on these things sometimes and you know, everybody's a little off because now Kapanen's on a different line and Connor Brown's on a different line. And
I describe it, Bobby, as like there's always negative stress, but there can be positive stress too, where it's like this is a positive thing, him coming back.
Yeah.
But it shakes things up a little bit and people are out of sorts. So who knows how it's going to go?
Yeah, you never know. Does it end up becoming a little bit of a trap game where it's like because the buildup is now they've got their lineup. Now this is the real Leaf team. Let's see what they're going to do. And it's the first night and the guy hasn't had a training camp and you're kind of winging it.
You're up, man.
How about a practice? He hasn't had a practice.
Yeah, what game day skate?
Game day skate.
That is crazy, though. Like
He's had lots of practices in Sweden.
Yeah, with
those aren't practices.
16-year-olds, exactly, like 17-year-olds. But it is kind of crazy. No training camp and no full practice with your team, and then just you're playing.
And here's the funny thing, and when you think about it, you heard Babcock allude to it. And Austin Matthews has talked about it. He was off for as long as he was with the shoulder injury. And even with the shoulder injury, he could skate and he was doing conditioning skates like left, right, and center.
Right.
And you've heard Babcock talk about it. You've heard Matthews talk about it. Even now, he doesn't feel like he's fully in game shape.
Mm-hmm. And you'd think that those bag skates would put you like ahead of the other guys because they're not doing them. But it's just
there's no substitute for actually playing a game. And
the pace of the game is so high right now. No bag skate could replicate the pace of the game because you're sprinting for now 35 to 40 seconds. Whereas, you know, I think in practice, that level of intensity still isn't there.
Now, having said all that, we did the game the other night, and Matthews ends up with, 2-1, including the winner with 3 seconds left. But I was watching him even in the first period, and I thought, yeah, you know what? He looks a little tired. He looks a little straight-legged. He wasn't winning battles that he might otherwise have won. And I just thought, it's weird that, because you would thought he's been back now a week, and you would have thought it shouldn't be an issue, but conditioning can be funny that way.
Bob McKenzie, Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insiders in studio. You look at the Eastern Conference, and I know you guys were doing insider trading, and we'll get to some of that in just a moment, but out West, four teams that I think are out of it. I think Chicago, St. Louis, Vancouver, and L.A., they're done. Start looking at Jack Hughes and pray you win a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
In the East, there isn't, you know, that one team that's just completely out of it. Like, the Devils are not off to a great start. Philly's not off to a great start, but they're 5-6 points out, right?
And like, they were both playoff teams last year. The Penguins are out right now, and you know that they've got a gear left.
Go on a 5-game heater, all of a sudden you're right back in the mix, especially if you're playing inter-conference games.
I mean, not everyone can get in. There's going to be teams that miss in the East, but it seems like a very different setup. East to West in terms of those four teams I mentioned out West.
Which, of course, affects trade deadline because until you feel you're out, you're not ready to sell. And so that's going to affect it on that side unless you're trading apples for apples. I think Montreal's a team you look at right now and you still think, could they fall out? You know, but a couple of times now we've waited for that fall and they've jumped back on the horse, you know, so they're still in the playoff spot right now. But you got Pittsburgh breathing down your neck here soon. That, you know, that's a different ballgame. Carolina was everyone's, you know, they were the analytics pick for the year. They were my pick too, by the way. I just love that blue line and they just can't score. I mean, they're bottom three teams scoring wise. That's why they're trying to trade for a top 6-4. But
funny how about Jeff Skinner? Yeah, how about Jeff Skinner and Elias Lindholm?
Those two might work, wouldn't they?
Well, the Skinner one, as Bob knows, that was an interesting one. I think Skinner was like a Max Pacioretty situation where mutual interest in the exit.
Yeah.
That one stings, though, man. But that's
you mentioned Pittsburgh. I was just looking. I didn't even quite realize it, but they've got 2 games in hand on Montreal, and they're only 4 points behind. So if I wish the by the way NHL I wish we had point percentage.
I could do it on the media one again, but
yeah, but exactly.
Pittsburgh worries me because of the goaltenders. Like Matt Murray is he's proven now that he can't play 65 games. Yeah. Like he's I don't know if it's the body type or whatever. I think he has to still continue to get stronger.
I know you
and
can't
stuff.
Really blame anybody, Jamie, but I'm pretty sure he's starting to piss people off.
Well, injuries, it's tough. I never, ever point at people for an injury. It happens.
McKay, maybe not piss people off, but frustrate people.
Frustration would be the word.
Well, he's supposed to be the number one goalie, and he hasn't lived up to that billing, in part because of performance, but also because of injury. And now, some might argue that his performance was related to injury, because as I understand it, the injury that he's out with right now was something that happened much earlier in the season and that he tried to play
through it
and fight through it and couldn't, and they finally shut him down.
But if Pittsburgh doesn't get back in, though, and we know Chicago and LA probably aren't, you're looking at the three teams that have combined for 8 Stanley Cups since 2008 that could all miss out at the same time and perhaps symbolically announce themselves in a new era, too, in terms of where this is all headed. I mean, they have hogged the Stanley Cups, and now they're all in trouble. It's a pretty interesting time for the
And it doesn't feel like this is a blip in the radar. Like, Chicago missed last year.
Yeah.
This year, they're terrible again based on the points. They've changed their coach. L.A. just got in but got smoked by Vegas, got swept in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't seem like either of those two teams. Pittsburgh may be a little bit different, but, I mean, it could be, you're right. They've owned the league for 10 years, but
and there could be long hauls waiting for contracts to end up. You're paying guys lots of money, and you put the team on the ice, and they're no good.
Mm-hmm.
You look at St. Louis. Like, I think Doug Armstrong, if he didn't have a 4-year contract extension, he would have been fired, too. What is he going to get the opportunity to? He just signed a bunch of guys to make it right.
The St. Louis one, I didn't see coming at all. Like, not as bad as they've been.
No.
And some of it's goaltending related. But you know what? In fairness to Jake Allen, he's actually been better the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But when they added O'Reilly. They get Fabry back, who missed all of last season. They added Bozak. They brought in Kyrou. They brought in Thomas. They made a lot of big deals and big moves in the offseason. Now, right now, this moment is a bad time to judge them because Steen's out, Schwartz is out, Fabry's out, Petrangelo's out, Gunnarsson's out. Now, 4 of those 5 are all day-to-day. They're going to be coming back soon, and then we'll find out if Berube can push the buttons and they can get some goaltending.
What about Drew Doughty for a second? And I'm not trying to radio myself here.
No.
You just did.
But
you
brought it up, man. We didn't provoke you.
We weren't talking about Drew Doughty.
We just brought it up.
Don't blame us. When he signed that extension, now part of it, as he said from the beginning, if the Kings show me the money, I love it here, and he loves Manhattan Beach. So let's start with the most important part. But he signed under the premise that the Kings still had some window, some
jam.
Yeah. And I just wonder if this is how the season's going to play out, if he'll revisit where this is. And it may not be him revisiting. It might be, who knows? I mean, this is a team that has to decide, with Doughty and Kopitar and Quick as your core, how to get the pieces around them to get back into contention. Because those guys are making lots of money, and they're there. That's your core.
I will say this. The games I've watched, Drew Doughty hasn't played well either. So it's great to say, maybe he wants
might
to
be more right now part of the problem as opposed to the solution.
Yeah, he hasn't played Drew Doughty hockey either. So for anybody that's looking at that and looking at those numbers going down in the future years, you got to think long and hard about it.
It's interesting, though. So what you're saying is Doughty asked for a trade.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
What's coming out.
And I got to say, he loves it there so much, I'd be shocked. But it's interesting. Part of the premise of why he signed the extension.
And you can play that game, obviously, with the Hawks as well. But here's my thought is Rob Blake in LA, Stan Bowman in Chicago. I know everybody and their brother says that the windows are closed for these guys. The party's over. They won their cups and now they're going to suffer with the contracts and the lack of young talent and all of those things. I just don't see in the immediate future, meaning this season, certainly, or at this trade deadline, or maybe even at the end of the year, we'll see. But I don't see Rob Blake or Stan Bowman saying, you know what, let's blow it up.
Right.
And trading a Doughty or, you know, the equivalent would be a Kane or Taves. I think Stan Bowman's going to look at it and say, you know what, we're not where we want to be. And you know what, maybe everybody's right, but I got 2 30-year-olds. Kane and Taves are not 38 years old.
No, they can still play.
Kane's producing, and Taves is having, even though the team's been terrible, for the most part, he's had a big bounce back year this year compared to last year. So I think his challenge would be is more looking at Seabrook and Keith and the older guys on defense and saying, okay, the team's not good enough. My job is to make it better, but it's not by raising the white flag and saying we're gonna be in a rebuild.
Right.
And I see this, maybe the Kings are going to have to do that at some point, but I don't think it's going to be in the next 3 months.
No,
I wonder if any team would take a stab at Duncan Keith, because he's got 5 years left at five something.
It's a reasonable cap.
It's very low.
It's actually cash
flow. Just hope that he could get re-energized somewhere else.
But here's the thing with the cap hit. Like, you're right. A $5 million cap hit for a defenseman. Like, anybody, virtually every team has top four defensemen who all make.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand he's not playing well, and I understand the Hawks aren't playing well, but is that really the... If Duncan Keith's on a $5 million cap hit, is that really a problem for the Chicago Blackhawks?
It just goes
no, the problem is that there's not enough... You know, Joakim Harju's in his first year in the league. He's still 19 years old. Where's the push coming from? And that's part of, you know, and Stan thinks they've got the young defenseman coming. They've got Boquist. I have to get out their reserve list here and have a look at it. But, you know, they've got Boquist. Yeah, they've got Joakim Harju.
He thinks he's got three.
They got there's somebody else off the top of my head I'm forgetting. They believe the young guys are coming and they're going to be really good.
They're in better shape than LA.
But they're not there right now. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what LA and Chicago want to be is what Boston did. Now, Boston doesn't have three cups, but. They did go from a team that won a cup in 2011 and were able to sort of reset, and use Mark Bergevin's word, Montreal, and not completely blow it up.
Big time.
Around Chara and Bergevin.
Yeah.
And now they've got a lot of young talent. That's what LA and Chicago, some degree, Pittsburgh want to do.
See, right? And what did everybody say about Chara 2 years ago?
Done.
Dunzo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No good. Terrible. You know, and he's injured right now, but he's played really, really well.
Mm-hmm. But they changed him too, and that's what I think. That's the.
But they got McAvoy. They got
you're
Carlo.
Right, but
they got Krug. They got Grizzlick.
And I love that though. I agree with that. Like, I think special players adapt to their surroundings. I think Shea Weber is going to age like Chara. Like, speed has never been his game, but being in the right position and. Chara went from the power play to the penalty kill. There were things that, and again, you need people to push through.
Yeah.
That's the, you need a McAvoy. You need somebody like that can shift players over. And that could be the case in Chicago if they've got players coming. LA doesn't look to me, from their reserve list, they don't got the push through to be pushing those guys out. That could be a challenge. That's where you start looking at Carter's. You know, I think Johnny Quick still has too much term left to make him super attractive for other teams, but that's...
And an injury history.
And the injury.
People.
He's got massive injury history now.
Yeah.
Like, there was times where years where he was playing 70 games every year with his money in the bank. Now you get those groin injuries and
they resurface all the time.
Exactly.
Like, but the thing is with the Kings, like, they this is not intentional, but based on the standings, they're tanking. They're dead last in the league. So who are you fooling? Right, like you can say whatever you want. Well, we're not committed to a tank. I know you're not because you just gave Ilya Kovalchuk a 3-year deal.
Exactly.
You just fired your coach because you wanted to spark something.
Yeah.
You're dead last in the league. Like, shouldn't you be thinking, I got to get Jack Hughes? Like, those four teams I mentioned off the top, we were talking to Ray about this in the previous hour. If you're Vancouver, why do you want to win right now? Like, why would you want to? I understand the winning culture and all that. You're not going to win anyway. You're a terrible team.
Do what Toronto did, the dignified tank. Work hard and be in every game.
That's
what
exactly
it's called.
What it
was a dignified tank.
Pretend like you're
they
pros,
were in every game.
See,
it was 2-1.
Vancouver's doing the opposite of that because that's why they went, ostensibly, they went out and got Beagle and Roussel and Schaller and all these guys because they thought we're going to build up the bottom of the lineup. And we're going to filter the kids into the top of the lineup. So we got Besser and we've got Pedersen, and we're going to build up the third and the fourth line and make us more competitive, and we're going to compete for a playoff spot. And
not even
chances
close.
Are that they won't compete for a playoff spot in spite of doing all that.
We were talking about McDavid's ice time, and Frank Saravelli's got a great piece up on TSN.ca. He played 28 minutes last night. You talk about adjusting to what you have. Like Hitchcock, they're winning games, but can this continue? Can he be playing, not 28 minutes a night, but like crushing 5-on-5 records?
First of all, this reminds me of Dale Hunter being brought in to coach the rest of the year in Washington. There was
the
no
opposite?
Tomorrow.
With Ovechkin, he did the opposite.
He did the opposite.
13,
but what I mean is, he was coaching for today. There is no tomorrow. Ken Hitchcock coaching for the rest of the year. Yeah. And I'm telling you right now, if he thinks that's the way that they can win hockey games, that's what he's going to do.
He's not even coaching for the rest of the year. He's coaching for like the rest of this week.
Right.
And see, Hitchcock's not stupid. He walks into the situation, he's looking at his lineup, and he says, I got McDavid, I got Draisaitl, I got Nugent Hopkins, and then it falls off a cliff.
Drop off.
It does. It falls off a cliff, and he knows that, and he looks at it, and he's like... Okay, so what am I going to do? Well, what they're trying to do now is they're trying to coach Puljujärvi up. Mm-hmm. They had him in the minors. They brought him up in that. He's got. They think he's got a chance to. You know, they're trying to coach Spooner up and get more out of him. They're trying around their lineup. They're in, and he's created. You know, the Brodziak, Lucic, Cassian line. Which call it a third line, call it a fourth line, call it what you want. But he's trying to reset Milan Lucic's mindset. I know you haven't, you know, you've got one goal in calendar year or whatever. Don't worry about it. Just go hit some bodies and go back to just being like you were in junior hockey before you even started to score goals. And maybe some goals will come later, but let's not worry about that right now. So it's while I'm going to play the hell out of McDavid, Dreisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins and mix and match one as a center and two as a center and one on the wing. And in the meantime, I'm going to try and push these guys up as far in the lineup as I can and see if I can get them to get more support for those top three forwards.
Aside from making the playoffs, which is something that needs to happen, I think, for other Chiarelli. People in that organization right now.
Chiarelli.
I think finding a way to finally separate Dreisaitl and McDavid legitimately would be the ultimate coaching trick for Ken Hitchcock. And it's difficult. We saw what Todd McClellan kept going back to it. They are so. I worked a Habs game against Edmonton this year with Dreisaitl and McDavid destroyed the Canadiens single-handedly. Yeah. But it just makes them, to me, so top-heavy.
That's such a long-term goal, though, as you say, when they're trying to put the fire out right now.
Not interesting.
And you don't have the bottom line is that they can't. They don't have nearly enough talent on the wings to be able to play McDavid, Dreisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins as centers. They can't. It's not possible. And so one of the, either Nugent Hopkins or Dreisaitl, must play the wing. And right this week or month, it's Dreisaitl. A week or a month from now, it could be Nugent Hopkins. But in any case, they got to have a center, one of their top three centers playing the wing.
Good seeing you guys. Thanks for popping in,
as always.
We appreciate it.
Go Cowboys.
Go Cowboys. Go Packers. Go Joe Philbin this weekend. What an outing that's going to be. Big Thursday night or tonight as well. Jacksonville, Tennessee.
Might be more goals in the Leafs game than that football game.
I think there's a pretty good chance of that. Leafs Wings coming up next. Don't forget, Say I Do with Overdrive in Vegas this Valentine's Day. The O-Dog Noodles and I are ready to become your groomsmen. Send an email to vegas1050@bellmedia.ca. We haven't read this with anyone else in studio.
Yeah,
tell us why you and your better half want to tie the knot or renew your vows Overdrive style, and you could be getting married in Vegas with flights and accommodations provided by our friends at tripcentral.ca. Yes Guy and Greg Gilbert coming up. Yes Guy in about 18 minutes.
We'll chat then.
We will. The pregame's up next. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We're going to chat then.